Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Okay, I put together an ad for a couple of shows that I've been told would be coming our direction, and I didn't do it quite right, but this is for the new shows that could be coming our way, and I've been told they want to, so hopefully this is not premature. Conservative Nation Media has been around for 11 years now to give you the news that is fit to know about the state of America and what the politicians in Washington and around our nation are doing to our freedoms. We have strived to give you the true news that you cannot find in lamestream lying liberal media, and because of our love for this great nation, we are growing again. With new shows on CNN like American Statesman with Sally Baptiste and of Crazy Nation Radio with Ron Reck, we are getting well-known names to join our network to make CNN a stronger voice for America. We have others who may be joining us too. American Statesman airs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and Crazy Nation Radio airs mostly on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, with other times of the week when he feels the need is there. Join Conservative Nation Media for all of our shows on Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday with our Sunday show, American by Design, returning too. That's Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face. And then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding.
This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back this evening. Hello, Lorianne. I guess she's away from the phone. Conservative podcast host Trish Regan said Friday, today, that she was stunned and disappointed that the slaughter of Israelis at the hand of terrorists did not draw unanimous condemnation from all lawmakers, telling Newsmax that she's disgusted with the members of the squad who continue to be apologists for Hamas. Blown away by this, she said, "I'm stunned, I'm disappointed, I'm kind of shocked. We got to do better than this. We've seen this movie before in a really, really brutal way, 6 million people slaughtered, and somehow 1,400 innocent Jews were killed on October 7th. Hamas is responsible. Iran allegedly gave the green light, and you don't have lawmakers in unison condemning that? What is wrong with them?" Regan also responded on Thursday's report that one member of the squad, Representative Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, has extensive fundraising ties to Hamas supporters. And I reported on this one, I think on yesterday or the day before on my daily update. This is just, you know, and this is something that, you know, she says she's disgusted. I am too. Our representative should be representing America and Americans, not Hamas, not Iran, but America and our allies. So what do? They go and do just the opposite. They support our enemies. And this is wrong in so many ways. I've got Lorianne here. I've got Boyd in the chat room. I've got several people on the phone. So, Lorianne, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, boy.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, always happy Friday. I love Fridays.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy what's going on. I guess the UN is calling for a ceasefire and peace negotiations. And sounds like Israel has done a second, like, major raid going into Gaza. And then it's starting to spill out because the U.S. bombed a couple of facilities in Syria. And I believe Egypt, in retaliation for the attacks on a couple of our bases. And it's just an overall really ugly situation. It's gearing up, you know, this is how the start of World War III, you know, looks like. And it's getting pretty scary. And the thing is, though, is Israel, what I don't agree with Israel is they are utterly refusing any kind of truce or ceasefire or peace negotiations. They're literally like, we need to obliterate them all. And that's just going to, you know, fan the fires even more. You know, when when, you know, because Palestinians, you know, Palestinians and Hamas are not exactly the same thing. You know, Hamas is Hamas. They're the organization, you know, terrorist organization. And then there's the rest of the Palestinians. And it's like, it's almost, to me, it seems like Israel just doesn't care. There's no distinction between them. And I think that that puts Israel in a rather bad light on an international scale. To refuse any kind of peace efforts, to refuse any kind of ceasefire, you know, it's just a really ugly situation right there. You know, and I know, you know, hate me all you want, you know, for not 100% backing Israel on this, but, you know, I just think that it is very dangerous to call for the complete annihilation of Palestinians, to show absolutely no interest in any kind of ceasefire or truce talks. That is not something I'm going to support. I don't care how big of an ally they are to the U.S. I think that that's the wrong way to go. That's the wrong way to go. I can't support that. I can't support that kind of mentality. Wipe them all out. You know, innocent, you know, like in Israel's mind, there's no such thing as. I think that's wrong.
Well, you broke up there for a second. What I was hearing on this was that they wanted to get rid of Hamas. I hadn't heard them saying that they wanted to get rid of Palestine, but of course I've been doing a couple of other things. So there's a lot of news that I haven't actually heard, but we got Sally in the chat room right now, which is cool. And Joe is on the phone, but he hasn't raised his hand yet. So, but one of the things that I've been noticing is that, you know, when it comes to attacking and doing the things that's going on over there, Hamas did not warn Israel at all. And Israel actually does warn people to get out of the area before they attack. So I see a difference there, but I can understand. But the problem that we have is we've got our government saying, okay, we need to have a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, when Hamas has stated, even in writing, that they want to destroy Israel. I don't think that a ceasefire between them would be as easy as a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. But nobody's calling for that one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there has been calls for, you know, for Russia to stop this. And it's kind of a similar situation there where it's like, I think the U.S. is meddling way too much in these affairs. Like, because if you remember with the Ukraine, you know, there was a push for negotiations, and then our government got involved, and that, you know, of course, got flushed down the toilet. You know, and I just think, you know, apparently, it's just, we need to just stop meddling in everybody else's affairs. We got our own problems here. You know,
yeah.
We can't be like America first, America first, America first, you know, stop funding the Ukraine, stop sending all this money to Ukraine on the one hand. But then all of a sudden with Israel, we do an about face. Now it's like, oh, unending support for Israel, you know, go Israel. Yes. Yeah, send money to Israel. You know, it's like, no, if you're America first, you're America first. Let's quit meddling in all this crap. And, you know, it's our government that helped spawn all this.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking pretty much the same thing. We need to be America first, but we also need to stop trying to be the world's policeman, because we just can't do that. I just added 907 in here and Joe, so they're both on the phone right now too. So, but I think that we need to stop trying to be the world's policeman, because that's just with the way that our country is now, we're pretty much bankrupt. And we're sending all this money out everywhere else. We should be using that money here in America for the problems that we have here, not on the other side of the world.
Exactly. I mean, Ron Paul's been saying it for, you know, over 30 years, you know, stop meddling.
Yep.
Because what inevitably happens is we keep meddling and we keep funding all this stuff, and we end up funding our own future enemies over and over and over again. And, you know, do you really think this is going to be any different? You know, how long is it going to be before, you know, okay, let's say, you know, the Ukraine and Russian war stops or whatever. In 20 years, is Ukraine going to hate America and be our future enemy? I wouldn't be surprised, you know?
Truthfully, I wouldn't be either.
Okay, so there's a stoppage there. Okay, that'll be my opportunity to come in and say hello to both of you. So, how are you two guys doing?
So far, doing pretty good, I think.
Hey, happy Friday.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Not bad. I cannot say anything definitively about any of the wars because I don't know enough about any of the history of the conflicting parties. But being a libertarian, I do firmly believe that the United States, and I don't even use the word we when people say we send money over there. I just say the government sends money over there, not we the people, because that kind of implies that we, you know, we as the people approve of it. I don't approve of it. Anybody who's ever read The Economic Hitman knows what the agenda is when we send money, when they send money overseas. And we're not the world's police chief. That's a euphemism for an extension of the United States government to expand its empire. So that's why a lot of the world hates the United States, and I can't blame them. And look at what the politicians are doing. They're letting in immigrants from the countries that NATO has bombed over the years coming in here. And do you think that just because they're now on American soil, they're, you know, they, yeah, go, 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 rah, 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 America? Oh, hell no. You know? So,
yep.
Like I say, I don't know enough about it. I haven't done my history on the Hamas versus Israel and Ukraine versus Russia. So I have nothing to say about those wars.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I would like to get in here and see if I can't correct some of Lorianne's thinking. When you were talking about going in and wiping out Hamas and all of that and everything, and you're not thinking that it's, you know, the right thing to do, you have to remember that 70 years ago, we went in not to wipe out the Germans. We went in to wipe out the Nazis. And we did. And look at Germany now. You know, what Israel's getting ready to do to go in and wipe out the Hamas organization and their followers and supporters and stuff like that. I don't think, you know, I think they have not only every right to after all of this, but they have a duty to do it. They are, you know, taking out an organization that, one, is not good for Israel. It's also not good for the world. The Palestinians, you know, them poor suckers, you know, aren't going anywhere because nobody will take them. And I wouldn't take a single one of them either. And for, you know, the one simple reason, supposedly they, I mean, they're Arabs and they're Muslims. Okay. Why won't any of the other Arab countries take any of them as refugees? They flat out refused to. Egypt was not going to open that gate on their border to let, quote unquote, humanitarian supplies into Palestine so that no Palestinians can come out. Why is that? I don't know. But if their Arab brothers and Muslim brothers will not accept them or anything, that's good enough for me to say, I don't think I'm going to take them. You know, there is something intrinsically wrong with those people for whatever reason. So I don't know.
Well,
I do
know the
reason.
Come nobody to take them because the U.S. say we won't give you no more aid. There's nothing wrong with those people. When they formed that, you had over 250,000, some say 750,000 Palestinian Jews that wanted to come back into Gaza. They wouldn't allow them. The people that had something wrong with them mentally was Britain, going around the world doing what it done, especially to that area. Those people that you got running the government, they're in Zionists, they come from Poland, Germany, and the United States. They don't belong there. They're taking those folks, occupying their land.
Who's occupying whose land?
That's Palestinians' land, the Philistines' land. It's nothing. There was nothing in that area that looks like Netanyahu. He's a European.
Hang on. Everybody claims that is Palestinian and Arab lands. Okay?
It's not.
Well, let me think about that, because I think it was 1400 AD, no, 1400 BC, that the Jews went in there into that land, which was not occupied by anybody. Now, that was 1400 BC. And since that time, the Jews have never left that area, but have been conquered by all sorts of people from the Philistines to the Romans to the Greeks to the Arabs. Now, Jews have never left that land. That is Jewish land. And it has been for over 3,000 years. Now, don't give me the stuff that the Jews took away from the Palestinians or the Arabs, their land. No, it wasn't their land to begin with.
Well,
it's just like if somebody comes in and lifts your wallet out of your pocket, takes it from you by force, and 2 weeks later you go out and reclaim your wallet after they've been in possession of it for 2 weeks, they claim it's their wallet, and you'll be in the wrong for reclaiming your wallet.
And there was no Jews. There was no Judaism at the time that you said it came about.
Oh, bull crap!
The Cushites defeated the Assyrians, who was coming down on what they call today Jerusalem. If the Cushites had not defeated them, it wouldn't have been no. Huh? The Cushites and Jerusalem was using Yahwehism at that time. Before that was Yahwehism, Jerusalem, was Christianity and Islam. I've been to that area. There was no whites in that area.
Guys,
okay. Excuse me. Hold it. Back up. There were no whites in that area.
There was no Caucasians in the area.
Wait a minute. Back up. We're not talking about white. Period. We're not talking about race.
Well, you may not be talking about,
we're talking
about who's running the land today. You know, here's the thing.
Sarge,
why is America, for you to get a grant from the United States, from the federal government, you got to comply to its anti-discrimination laws. All right? Well, if that's the case, why come they giving money to Israel and they're some of the biggest discriminators on the planet?
Excuse me. Back up. You know that the Jews come in all shapes, manners, colors of people around the world. It doesn't matter. This is a religion, not a race. You got to remember that. That is the truth. This is a religion, not a race. Just like Muslims come in all shapes, forms, and colors, not a race. Arabs are just part of the Muslim religion. Jews, they are part of the Jewish religion.
Let me ask you this. You had Ethiopian Jews, Beta Israel, and Gondor. They done an airlift to bring them back, bring them to Israel.
They done an airlift.
The operation was called Solomon and Abraham, and I believe also Moses. When they brought the women back,
Abraham's time.
when they brought the women back. They sterilized them and made them get on birth control, and they recircumcised the male. Now, that's discrimination. United States should not be giving money to countries that discriminate. They refused to give it to Nigeria because they said they discriminated against their homosexuals during Obama.
What's that got to do with Palestine? What's that got to do with it? What are you talking about?
Your knowledge of history is very, very weak. I'm telling you, I like you, but
your knowledge of history is very one-sided.
Because when it's only one thing there to talk about, how else is it going to be?
Why are you talking about 10 different things then? Talk about discrimination.
Hi, guys.
But guys, listen.
Hello.
When this is Mike here. When they left Egypt, when the Jews left Egypt, they left Egypt with a multicultural crew because they had a lot of converts, right? That's 4,000 years ago. Whenever they went into Egypt for 400 years,
what were they
left
doing?
There with a bunch of other people with them.
What was
right?
there, what was they there in Egypt doing?
They went over there because there was a famine in the land 400 years previously. Joseph was where. Joseph, one of the sons, was there, and this is in the Bible now. This is part of history. Joseph.
Oh, you say it's
there.
In the Bible?
The Jews.
The Bible
is
not a history book.
The Jews were in Egypt being slaves.
Yes.
That's right.
What were they doing
as
slaves? I guess you're going to say they built pyramids, huh?
That's a possibility.
When you be a slave, I spent nine years in my life and didn't know damn Jews build no pyramid. Matter of fact, Nasser told that to Menachem Begin when he said that same thing. Nasser,
the president of
Egypt, told Begin, "You might have built bagels, but you did not build pyramids."
Who built them?
No, they didn't. You're right. They didn't build pyramids. They just hauled the friggin' rock up the side of that pyramid. That's all they did. They didn't build it. They just did all
and
the
workers,
manual labor.
The workers there was working on the contract. You got copies of the contract in the Cairo Museum today. You can go read them if you can read geese.
J.P. Morgan drafted up the contract. Yeah.
That's some of your myths, Joseph. Get out of here.
But yeah, this is all about Isaac and Ishmael, the two sons of Abraham. That's where this began. All right? It's been a family feud ever since. It's all this is a family feud.
How are we diverting off the subject? I mean, what's going on here? What's the land today is whose, and what's going on here? Are we picking sides? What's going on? I don't understand.
I tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying the United States have no business being using taxpayers' money in that area. They don't have no interest. What interest do you have? You don't get all
no
from
taxpayer
there.
Money. We've been over that a million times.
100%. And it's been misused for that length of time and probably longer.
Okay, if it's not, okay, fine. If it's not their money, if it's not Israel's money,
what interest does the United States have in that part of the world? Name me something.
How is it, if it's not their money, if it's not Israel's money, okay, fine. Israel's getting it, but so is Israel's getting money from America, but so is Hamas.
At least Israel isn't building bombs to come over here and kill us.
They shouldn't be giving money to anyone. That money should stay in the pockets of United States taxpayers.
That's right.
That's
all
right.
Of it. Everything. Yep. Every dollar. Yep. Let's close the doors. Yep. No foreign policy. No more. Just pull all our troops back. Everyone stationed in the United States will put walls around the
trade?
Place. No
our
trades, no nothing.
Should
right?
be trade. Trade with other countries. That's it.
How? How could you trade,
we
Lorianne?
Should not be
how are you going to trade?
Wars on the other side of the world. We shouldn't be giving, how many of these other countries are taxing their citizens up the ass and sending it to us? Nobody.
So what do we do? What do we do when China sends missiles to other countries? What do we do when Russia sends missiles to other countries? We just sit back and we just mind our business, right?
They already are doing that.
I know, but what do we do?
In response to us. Look at how many Look at all the bases that we have all over the world that we're funding.
In response to
us. There's American bases and American weaponry and American arms all over the damn place.
Same reason Raytheon is spending money over to other countries.
So hang on a second. So let me get this straight. You're saying if we pull all our bases back and we just get out of everybody's country, don't help them, don't send no money over there, no nothing. What you say Russia and China are going to all of a sudden be good boys and girls and they're going to say, the United States isn't doing it anymore.
How long do you think American soldiers are going to be working abroad and they're not getting paid? United States is broke. Look at
the
if you read it says you are
broke. We're not
the
broke.
United.
Another thing. If those Jews
print the money.
If those Jews are such good friends of yours, then they wouldn't have no problem at all removing the debt you owe to the Federal Reserve. Now, would they?
What are you talking about?
Well, Joe Gibson, I'm sorry. What school you went to. You need to go back and get your money from them.
I don't know what you're talking about, Bianchi.
You gotta remember one thing. The United States of America, the corporation, is nothing more than the ATM machine for the Bank of England, which is run by the Rothschilds. We don't owe nobody nothing. We are not in debt.
Yeah, and who are the Rothschilds again? The Rothschilds aren't Christian. They're not Muslim.
Well, if it's just that easy, why do you raise people's goddamn taxes? Just print money to pay your bills.
Why? What are you talking about? I thought you understood this, Bianchi, about the Federal Reserve. I thought you understood this.
He just said it ain't no debt. I'm saying it's fake. Well, then why do you continue to raise people's income tax?
Oh, Lord. Everything we've been talking about all these years, you're going to play dumb. You don't know what we've been talking about with the Federal Reserve.
Is that not a good question? Well, Obama had it at 39.6%.
Uh-oh.
Trump lowered it down to 15%. Now Biden want to take it back up. So why do you keep raising taxes? Your currency is going to be debased. Do you know what debased means? That means it ain't worth nothing.
And it always will, and it always does when you have fractional reserve banking systems. Yes, it always does. It collapses.
And who gets the interest from the fractional reserve banking system? Come on, name them to me.
Who gets the offshore banking cartel?
Your $2 trillion in interest just on your debt. In 2027, who is that money due to?
We have no debt. It's all fake.
It's fake money.
I thought you understood this. It's fake money. Not valued. It's phony.
If a bag ever fell off the back of a Brinks truck, you don't think people's not going to be scrambling to get it if it's fake money? You got to use some kind of logic, Joe.
You don't understand the Federal Reserve, then. I guess you just don't understand it all this time. You just don't get it.
Okay. I'd like to add my two cents to this mix, if I may. And that is, during World War II, Heinrich Himmler, with the aid of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, went to Bosnia, which is in Central Europe, and he established an SS division called the Hanchar Division, picked from Bosnian Muslims, many of them blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Now, how did all these blonde-haired, blue-eyed Muslims wind up in Serbia in Central Europe? Let me tell you how. Because the Ottoman Empire in the 14th century conquered Serbia, just like any other conquerors in history, and they spread their religion throughout Central Europe, into Hungary, into Romania, and into Serbia, amongst other places. So that's the way these things work. Religions often subsume people of different racial and ethnic groups. Same thing is going on in Palestine. The people there, even if they are Ashkenazi Jews who originated in the Germanic region of Germany, around Saxony and elsewhere like that, they are still Jews and adhere to much the same religion as the Sephardic Jews do, and all the other sects of Judaism, and they all consider Palestine as their original home. But like I said, I like to avoid these kinds of arguments because they take so many endless permutations. I like to go back to the history, and the one thing that was said that was true and pretty much indisputable, much of the cause of this chaos was the British government lying to all sides of this issue after they conquered Palestine. When they defeated the Ottoman Empire and drove them out of the region, they told lies out of both sides of their mouths to the Arabs and to the Jews and the Zionists. Zionist Jews and the Arabs. And that was started it all. Because they had been straight up, but then again, I guess great powers in the middle of a world war, I guess they view all these other things as, you know, ancillary and piddly little things we can't be bothered with because we got to defeat another world empire called the Central Powers in Germany. So that's how all this stuff got started. 107 years ago when the current day mess got started. 107 years ago. Now again, the Zionists are basing their claim to the region, number one, of the historic relationship of Jews to that area. It doesn't matter what their racial grouping is, they are Jews, and they can show through anthropological and historical evidence 3,700-year connection with the region, 3,700 years. And that's what they base their claim on, now their long-time association with it, the fact that they built the land, they developed the land in which they were allowed to settle under both the Ottoman Empire and the British Mandate period. They got the land, they developed, there was hardly any people living there. The Palestinians flocked to the region that the Zionists built up and developed because the living conditions improved, their life expectancy went up, their infant mortality went down, and more Palestinians came there looking for work as a result of the improved conditions the Zionists had created. That's number two. Then they say that they fought for the territory in defensive wars, and they held it against all comers who tried to take it from them, which in the bottom line is always what matters most. Can you keep the country that you claim? I don't give a damn who you are, anywhere on this globe, it don't matter. You got to be able to take the ground and hold it, and if you can't, you won't keep it. And that goes for the Israel today. If they cannot withstand this onslaught they're up against now, and if the Arab world can combine somehow to defeat them, they will be driven into the sea, and the state of Israel will no longer exist. You surely must understand why they intend to prevent that, even if you don't think they should exist. Because no nation on the world can withstand an assault like this and not do something about it. Unlike us, while we let our own southern border be invaded by millions of invaders, we're exactly not going to have this country either. So again, like other callers here are saying, we need to look out for our interests first, whether it was not Israel's, not Palestine's, not anybody's but ours. And to the extent that, yes, the Israelis, whether we like it or not, they are allies by treaty. It's just the way it is. I don't like the influence they often have on our foreign policy, but I don't like the influence a lot of other countries have on our foreign policy. That includes the European Union and all the rest of them. I would withdraw from much of this global nonsense altogether. But we got too many people in the Congress of the United States and who get elected to the presidency who have a vested interest in this damn globalism. But we should not ignore historical realities because the historical realities matter and the historical record is fairly clear. Let's not pretend we can ignore it.
When the Philistines occupied that area, indigenous to that area, it was no Judaism. I mean, let's tell the history like it's supposed to be. You know, I've been there, Joe. Have you ever been there?
No. No. The Philistines.
That area was controlled.
And Black Jesus and the white man, he crawled on all fours. I know.
Was it not the area also called Cana? Was not the area also called Cana?
Yeah, sure. Canaan, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what happened to Cana? Wait a minute. Let's go to your Bible. What happened to Cana? Cana was Ham's first son, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Huh?
What were the Jews told to do to Cana?
What happened to Cana? You supposed to have read the Bible.
Bianca. We're not debating that the Jews lost the land. They lost it several times and reclaimed it. We know this. Okay?
I asked you a question. Now, if you can't answer, I'll abandon trying to get an answer out of you. What happened to Cana? Did
you
read
the
Bible?
Answer. Why are you playing games? Just say it.
Look,
Was not Ham's first son Cana cursed? He was cursed black. Read your Bible. Read
black
the Hebrew
Jesus.
Bible.
Yeah, black Jesus. Yes, we know, Piaget. Black
ain't
Jesus meant, yep.
Yep. About a goddamn
I know.
Black
and
Jesus,
the white man
Joe,
crawled on all
you
fours.
Blabbing,
yep.
You
were
blabbing off at the mouth, and nobody said anything about what the white man does.
Okay.
There's a gentleman in Arabia named Sharif Hussein. Sharif Hussein was the guardian of the Islamic holy places in Arabia. He testified before the Palestine Commission on the formation of the State of Israel in 1946. And this is what he said. Remember, he's the guardian of the Islamic holy places in Arabia. And he said this, and I quote, he said that Palestinians' ancestors had only been in that area for 1,000 years. He said their association with the region came long after the Jews. He said that they claimed the connection of Palestine in more than 1,000 years, dating back no further than the conquest of Muhammad's followers in the 7th century. And another Arab historian testifying during the same time period, a guy named Bassam Tawil, said this, and this is the quote, "We know that some of those who live in our villages are Jews who converted to Islam after the Muslim conquest beginning in the 7th century, and most of us are the descendants of foreign workers who came the British Mandate of Palestine from the various Arab countries in the wake of the Zionist enterprise. By trying to trace our ancestry to the Canaanites, we lie to ourselves and demonstrate our silliness and self-deception to the world. And when we try to claim that Jesus was a Palestinian, we make ourselves an international laughingstock." Now, he's not the only Arab historian from that time, but he said pretty much the same thing, because at the time, they weren't worried about Israel. So they could kind of tell the historical truth if they understood it, and many of them said the same thing.
When he made mention about Jesus, that right there is very detrimental. Which one? Hell, that was over 16 crucified saviors that the world has known. Which one?
He was referring to the historical Jesus that most of us attribute to the trace back to the foundation of Christianity, that one. Talk about that one individual. Peter, the rock of his church.
Was not the Christianity created by Constantine in 325 at the Council of Nicaea?
He made it the state religion, but it existed. It pre-existed Constantine. They were small cults. It was literally the word cult literally comes from the small Jewish sects that existed after Jesus Christ died.
Well, then, if that's the case, at the Council of Nicaea, when they created that creature, Arius and them, they argued at the council. Arius and Anastasia, they argued at the council that it was a created creature and had no human nature whatsoever.
Okay.
Now we're arguing religion, and the religion of Christianity says that God was personified in a trinity. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ the Son. Now, that's a religion. Okay. Look, that is a religious thing. What
the
Paul is trying to avoid that, because we could be arguing about that till a cow come on.
The Holy Ghost came into existence at the Council of Ephesus.
Read
the preceding.
That's why I say,
what does
the history record show? And for me, that's more important
to
determine
the Bible,
what actually happened.
I tell you, Sarge, you cannot mix Bible stories with real live history.
That's what I keep saying. That's what I keep saying. I say, let's look at what they're talking about.
Scientifically, guys, a couple things, guys. Scientifically, the Bible has been proven in certain places to have happened. For instance, you go back to the five cities of the plains that got destroyed when Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. They've been digging in that area for years and years and years and years and years and finding pottery and bones and well-preserved things that were under
Let me ask you a question. How did the Sodom and Gomorrah story go? The woman was walking behind, she turned into a pillar of salt, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
why
are
you
asking questions?
Wait a minute.
That happened after that. That we're talking about what happened leading up to that when they said fire rained down from sky on these cities, right? And where exactly are these cities located, right? That's what we're talking about here. And
by
the
way,
where these cities are located.
Sodom? Why did Sodom meet its downfall? It had nothing to do about homosexuality. And another thing,
it was because the judges in the judges were letting that shit go on. All right, they were letting that shit go on. It was against God.
Well, I guess
you weren't supposed to be doing
down
that
on fire too. But getting back to the story about the woman turning to salt. Who turned around to look at her? Would they not have turned the salt too?
I don't know.
The reason why she turned the salt, according to the Bible story, is because she turned around and looked. Well, who knows that she turned the salt? If they didn't turn around and look too, would they not have turned the salt also?
The reporter was there reporting from CBS News. Who knows? All right?
Let me read you something about Palestine, okay, from the Hudson organ, from Hudson.org. Some people think that Palestine-Israeli dispute is a clash of nationalisms. Others stress religious antagonism. While others still say East-West power struggle. But it's roundly agreed upon that the key element of this conflict is the land. The land for many years by many people was called Palestine. Yet, you people, including Middle Eastern policymakers, journalists, historians, and other lexiconographers, know much about the history of the name Palestine or what territory it has at one time or another encompassed. The ancient Romans pinned the name on the land of Israel in 135 CE after stamping out a province of Judah's second insurrection that Romans renamed the province Syria Palestina.
There you go. Exactly.
There you go.
The Jews had a presence in the Holy Land for more than 2,000 years before the Arabs established one there, because the original people who lived in that region were the Phoenicians, the Moabites, and the Philistines, and only the Jews are recognized as a distinct tribe of people out of those tribal groups in that region. The Arabs aren't native to Palestine. They're aboriginal to Arabia. Judaism, the Hebrew language, and the Jewish people were in the Holy Land for about 1,000 years before Islam came about, and the Islam conquest, spearheaded by the Arabs, moved out from Arabia. It is the Arab people, if you're going to call somebody an interloper, you have to call it the Arabs who populated the Holy Land, and that would include the newer waves of Arab immigration in the 19th and 20th centuries. I don't think anybody should be called an interloper, though. I think people of many different ethnic groups and religions have been living in that region for thousands of years. The question is country, nationalism. Nations come and go. They all do. this one's about ready to head up the river. And the point of the matter is, when a country is established by whatever means, and think about it for a minute, folks, I want you to really think with your heart. Most countries come into being, most of them, not all, but most, through conquest and war and bloodshed, all that, and that would include Israel. But initially, for one of the first times in world history, twice, the question of the state of Israel was submitted to two world bodies, the League of Nations, and when they went defunct, it was settled by the United Nations. That doesn't happen very often. It happened with Pakistan. It almost happened with Biafra, but it didn't wind up that way. But it doesn't happen that often. You had it submitted by internet, so the international community decided on trying to set up two states in the area, the state of Israel and the state of Palestine. And the Arabs rejected the two-state solution. So what we right. have now is the warfare that has ensued as a result of it, and now the question is going to be, who's got the military will and the ability to keep and hold that ground? At this point, not much else is going to matter. All the rest of it is interesting and important to know, but now the question is existential. Is Israel going to continue to survive as a nation? Can their armed forces prevail against what maybe they may be coming up with? That is the only question that's going to matter in the immediate future.
And they will.
But it don't solve the argument. The argument is going to continue to exist, and the people still going to fight on the basis of the argument. And it's just a matter of time.
That may be true. That true words weren't ne'er spoken. It is a matter of time. Will the future bring? Let's face it. There are countries that are surrounding Israel right now that do not want them to exist. There are millions of them. They are greatly outnumbered, as Bianchi pointed out, and numbers matter in the end. Quantity has a quality all its own. And if they can be subsumed if they can't form peace treaties, then they're going to lose, and they're going to be ground into the dust. We shall see what occurs.
Sarge, they tried it in 67. They were surrounded, okay? It lasted all, 6 days? 7 days. They spent 7 days.
Yeah,
wow, doesn't that number sound familiar?
But wait a minute. They almost did it in 1973. Israel came perilously close to defeat.
Yeah, almost. Mm-hmm. Almost don't count.
Yeah, but it was close. It was a close-run thing. They almost blew it.
And it won't happen this time either. They're not,
well, I don't know about that. War is so dynamic. I never say never when it comes to war.
The Bible lies.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the Bible, the lie.
If they had a went into Uganda like they said they was at first, I'd be over there today fighting with Uganda. How would it look for a bunch of white males coming up into Uganda saying, I'm home? Think.
Well, but it's true, though. We got to remember, though, Bianchi, that vote, I've got a record of the vote, and I can dig it up for you. I haven't got it right now. But I got a record of the vote at the Zionist Conference in 1905 in Uganda. It was overwhelmingly defeated. Yes, it was brought up. There were some people who wanted to do it, but they were in a distinct minority. They did not want Uganda. They wanted Palestine because they thought that was the ancestral home of the Jewish people.
Yeah, but you got to think about the mind in people. Look at Genesis 21. Genesis 21 and 8. No, Genesis 21 and 34, the very last verse. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. He wasn't even from there.
So what? Hey, look, these same arguments are made to tell white people and Europeans here in the United States to get the hell out of the country, give back the original aboriginal people. They're making almost the same argument. They sound almost identical. White people who didn't live here, what the hell are you doing here? You're colonized. Get the hell out. They're using the same arguments. Hell, they can say the same thing to me. What am I doing here as an African or descended from African people?
If you're going to use that argument here, then, well, whatever supposed treaty that they've got, they can break it like they broke the treaties here. Break the treaties.
Yeah, we can renegotiate.
Stop wasting American money.
I agree with you there because I don't think we need to give any more money than what we're obligated to by treaty. But, look, treaties can be renegotiated, and it is not impossible for the United States to renegotiate its treaties with Israel. And I think that would be an entirely appropriate thing to do.
If the United States is going to use the same cliche saying that you got to follow by our policy, which includes no discrimination, well, they shouldn't be getting a dime, because that's exactly what they're doing to the people over there that don't like Netanyahu.
Yeah, they're just
but you
got to
remember, though, Piage, I mean, a lot of what the Palestinians are complaining about, and yes, it's not the fault of most of the Palestinians, but much of what they're complaining about are security measures that have been proven to be, in many cases, necessary because of the fact that the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Golan Heights have been used as staging areas for terrorism and to enable rocket attacks and, I mean, thousands of incidents over the last 20 to 30 years. And the Arab Palestinian citizens are not discriminated against any more than Black American citizens are here in the United States. They are full and complete citizens of the state of Israel. 20% of the state of Israel is in a full and complete right. Israel is not an apartheid state. It is not. Gaza is a territory of Israel, and it is being used to stage terrorist assaults against the state of Israel, hundreds and thousands of incidents. So, yes, it is bad for the Palestinians. Yes, it is harmful to the Palestinians, but you cannot say there is absolutely no justification for many of the security measures that do make their life as hard as it is.
And really, the Palestinians did do it to themselves, because wasn't there elections there at one point that the Palestinians...
Yeah, they voted Hamas into being. Yeah, they voted for the Hamas government.
Yeah,
that's
right.
So, I mean, you cannot expect a state to see hundreds and thousands of attacks over the years from these people, to include using ambulances at checkpoints to move weapons, terrorists, to enable escape of people wanted for terrorist activity, and all the other things they do. You can't expect them to ignore it. They're just not. They're going to take and foremost is going to look to its national security when it comes to safeguarding it.
Well, you know, but I don't understand. I see how they want to feel bad when somebody tries to use bad weapons on them, but they gave bad weapons to the apartheid government in South Africa. Now, who was the apartheid government in South Africa? Joe, Joe, I'm going to tell you something. No, we're not switching the subject.
You're doing what a Democrat does, Bianca. You're doing what a Democrat does.
We're talking in reverence, and I'm not no goddamn Democrat.
Why did South Africa give up all those nuclear weapons then? If they had them in their possession,
Why did they give them to them? Who are they going to use the nukes on, Russia?
Yeah, but they didn't use them. So the South African government had them in their possession. Why didn't they hang on to them? Nuclear weapons are a big advantage.
Who was the South African government going to use the nukes on?
They would have used them undoubtedly on the ANC or anybody else who threatened them existential. But they didn't get the opportunity to do it. But they didn't do it. So then... Why did the South African government give up their nukes?
Well,
that's a hell of an advantage to give up.
Whether they done it or not, it's what was in their heart for the reason they wanted them.
Well, that's one of the reasons they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that government no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
And now the ANC is screwing it up and making a cock-up on South Africa.
Well,
they're a bunch of communists.
I don't want to get too much on the ANC.
That's why they can't govern.
I don't want to get too much on the ANC because Joe Gibson has made it. We off the subject.
I want to get back to the funding issue, the money issue. Here's the deal. Think about this. Not only are we funding Israel, we're funding Hamas, but we're also, because of what they did with the policy with Iran, they're funding Iran now, and we're funding because of what we did with our energy policy, we're basically funding both sides of Ukraine, all right?
Yeah.
Because of the energy policy this idiot president has put forward by making the oil worth $100 a barrel or damn near it, both Iran and Russia have tons of money. They're flush because of the oil price.
You say that we funding both sides, right?
Yes.
Well, Joe Gibson, that sounds like what you was talking about in World War One. The bankers were funding who? Both sides.
It sounds like it.
I'd like to answer Mike's question. Mike made a very good question. Why is he talking out of both sides of his mouth? It's real simple. He's got a push me, pull me policy. He's got these advisors on the one hand who are totally in line with Hamas and the PLO. They surround the stupid moron, the senile old goat. On the other hand, he's trying to deal with this thing. Well, Israel has the right to defend itself, but don't hurt any of the civilians, even though Hamas has stated it's asymmetric method of warfare, since the Israelis have the overwhelming advantage in firepower and military organization, is to insinuate themselves amongst the civilian population so they have to kill a lot of them to get to the terrorists. And then they see how evil these Israelis are. That's why this motherfucker's talking out of both sides of his mouth.
This is what I think they're doing. Time out. This is what I think they're doing, Sarge. Then tell me what you think. I think that it was all planned, like you said, from the get-go. But Hamas and Iran, they're allowing the Israeli army to go into Gaza, right? And they're using Hamas as a pawn, and then they're going to do a nuclear, light off a nuclear bomb or something and wipe out the entire Israeli army.
Oh, yeah, man, they don't care about Hamas. They're Sunni. The Iranians are Shiites. Man, they look upon them as almost as big a threat as the Israelis.
Yep.
They're using Hamas as pawns, man.
Let me finish. Now, imagine if that happens, right, and they blame Israel, saying they used a nuclear weapon in there. Imagine the chaos that's going to come out of that. Imagine.
It'll be World War. I guarantee you. If the nuclear weapon goes off there, we're headed for World War III and Armageddon. The United States
need to keep her ass within these 50 convention states. That's what she needs to do. If China marched a million soldiers into God, what you going to do? You can't do anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Not much. We're in a hornet's nest.
Wait a second, you said a million?
We had a president of the United States, Donald John Trump, who was getting some kind of stability going there in the Middle East. He was. He had the most significant treaties between the major Arab states in the region and Israel that has been seen since 1977. And then we get this senile old goat fool, this motherfucker surrounded by these goddamn radicals, and look at what's happening now. Man, I'm telling you, it makes me want to go revolt.
Isn't it amazing, though, what you're talking about right there?
A million men coming from the north.
A million men coming from the north. Wait a second. Didn't that man written book write about that 2,000 years ago?
Not in the north. They in the east. Get your directions right.
Yeah, okay. They're coming from the north.
Here's what the book says. The book says, There are going to be two different sets of invaders. One from the north, that's Russia and Turkey and people like that, and one from the east, or the land of the rising sun, which is China, Korea, Japan, all those people, India, all those people. You know, that's what it says.
Thing about that is that that area was conquered from the people in the West, that being Egypt. Tutmosis III, he beat up on that area that's there today, Megiddo. He beat up on them so bad they said it looked like the end of the world, and that's why they call it Armageddon.
Yeah. No matter how you slice it, folks, this thing has all the potential to get completely out of anyone's control because of the volatile nature of the major players involved.
All these countries over there. I mean, that don't mean nothing. Why are they so important? Huh, I wonder why.
They're not important. It's just for the greed of your politicians. You know why the people
politicians.
You know why the people started to hate Americans? Because they say, well, Americans, I thought you controlled your politics through democracy.
You just would hate America. Nobody hates America across the world. Have you ever traveled around the world? They love America. They want to come to America.
I said, listen, they interviewed a person, a Palestinian today, and that's what they said. They say American people let your government run, basically, they use the words I'm using, buck-naked wild.
And you believe it. You believe the TV? Well, you've been watching a lot of TV. No wonder why you're going crazy.
I wasn't watching the TV, and I'm not warned now, so you be careful.
You must be going crazy now. What's that supposed to mean? What's that supposed to mean?
Most of your remarks is what's that supposed to mean? You need to do some studying, Joe Gibson.
What is that supposed to mean?
I get you ready for your election.
I'm not no punk like fucking Warren. You're right.
Well, I don't know what the hell you are.
I'm not trying to make no fucking comments. We're having a conversation here, and you're going to throw some disrespectful shit like that out. What are you trying to say? Well, you're not. What are you implying? What are you implying? I don't get it.
You're asking what is that supposed to mean? Well, you need to go do some studying,
punk.
We ain't got time to give you a history a lesson.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you seem like you're acting like you want to, punk. Huh? What are you trying to do?
I got your punk, you motherfucker.
Yeah, you're trying to run your fucking mouth to me, man.
All right.
Don't be coming down on me. I can't help you always asking what that's supposed to mean. And Joe Gibson, I love you, but I'll whoop you like a goddamn stepchild.
I don't want to get into no war over Israel or Palestine or any damn thing. I damn sure don't want to get no war amongst people who want to help restore the Constitution. So please, we got nothing to worry about right now without dragons and shit in the Middle East.
You're absolutely right, Soros. That's where the issue is what's going on in the U.S.
Damn right. We've been invaded on our southern border, and then they're worried about some invasion in another country, two other countries, and not our own.
Right. Well, we know why they're going after the Ukraine, because it's the money laundering shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know,
that's for sure.
That's a big money. They want both of these wars to be stalemate, meaning they're going to keep going forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, right? That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want stalemates in these places. Now, I don't think Israel is going to settle for a stalemate, and they really shouldn't. You know.
The same thing could be said about Palestine. But I believe, I agree with you. The money is going to Ukraine. You're probably getting some to Putin. Some of the equipment Putin is probably getting an opportunity to inspect. That's the way they hoard it.
Here's how Putin's getting his money. It's fun. His money. He's flush with money because of what we've done with our energy policy by stopping drilling. And all that shit that this idiot in the White House has done, the amount of money per barrel for oil has went up. At the end of Trump's first thing, it was at $40 a barrel. Where is it now? Where is the price per barrel for oil?
It's approaching $100 a barrel right now.
That's right. And who's getting a lot of that money? Who's getting, not us. Who's getting a lot of that money? Russia and Iran.
Well, American politics run butt-naked wild. I mean, we just got to admit it. They're no damn good. You only got a handful that's worth something. The rest of them not worth the salt in the damn bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you right now.
You gotta remember this, okay? They are doing what they're doing because of the fact that they're money laundering machines need a little work and a little protection.
You're absolutely right.
Here, here.
So
money
there,
is just like a boomerang. You throw it in one direction and come back behind you.
You're here.
And they're doing they're doing what they're doing to Trump because they fear that if and when he gets back in, he's gonna stop that money laundering machine. That's what they're doing to Trump, you know, because they fear him, but it's not for the reasons that people think. It's because they fear that not only is he going to do all these firings of the government workers and shit, but he's going to stop the money laundering.
They don't
fear
him. They fear him rallying the people. They don't fear him. They fear him rallying the people to do something.
Well, here's
Trump
the deal. If
you do that,
Trump can't do
now,
it by himself.
Right.
Sure.
Now, here's the deal, though. Think about this. What's going on with that trial in New York? He's the more he speaks about the trial in New York, the more he's poking that bear. And that because the guy put that gag order on him, which is an illegal order, but he put that gag order on him. Trump is poking that bear. I don't want to say he wants to go to jail.
He's going to prison, and he's going to be my cell partner in there. Me and him are both going to prison.
Well, you know now, they're going after him for his golf courses. So I mean, it's getting to the point where no matter what he's done, they're going to go after him.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want him in jail. That's not going to stop him from getting elected, but they want him in jail.
Absolutely.
Because they think those optics are good for them. That's the problem.
Yeah.
In their demented minds, they think that the optics of Trump behind bars is good for them.
Yeah. They think that we're just going to accept blithely that they've got a case against Trump. And since they're the ones in authority, well, it wouldn't bring it unless it was true. And they're counting on all the sheeple out there to swallow that line and sinker.
Absolutely. But if you judge by what happened over there in Atlanta when all those African-American black people, well, the African-American, but the blacks showed up in support of Trump, people's eyes were getting open with this shit, you know? So, you know, we see this. I mean, yeah, they've been – those people down there in Atlanta have been dealing with Fannie Willis for years and years, huh? You know?
Well, she's
been
in office for 3 years, but I get your point.
3 years. Yeah. People like her. And I don't know how long that sheriff's been in office. You know, those sheriffs can be –
I got a guy down here. He's running now for Congress, congressional seat in my district. He's a former Green Beret. So he's running down here for the congressman that Kathy Manning holds. So, and then I got a guy who just emailed me. He's going to be running for attorney general. So if we can get a good group of people here in North Carolina that, you know, the governor, Mark Robinson, we get Mark Robinson in there. And I already talked to Mark Robinson several times. We get these guys in there. You know, me in there, we'll have a good nuclear to people.
Now, my way, Joe, we just elected ourselves a new parish president. That the guy that had been in there for a decade, in that office for a decade. All right, so we just our parish president elected a new parish president, and I got myself. We elected our little district for the parish council. We elected a new guy for parish council as well. So things are changing a little bit.
How did we get Bill Edwards?
Well, I think what happened with Bill Edwards is a lot of people were still around from the Edwin Edwards, and they saw the name Edwards and they voted for him. name appeal, in other words.
Would be.
You know? But that tends to work down here in Louisiana at times. Now, you know, Bell Edwards, Edwin Edwards, all that shit. But again, Edwin Edwards is another crooked Democrat, was and has been another crooked Democrat, you know? And, you know, he was not the first guy, he was not the guy I voted for the first time, you know, for governor. And I think we got a pretty good governor now from, that used to be the AG of our state, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, we need to stop the funding of these countries, you know. I mean, if we want to stop, I mean, we're all for Israel, and we've basically given it, a lot of the military equipment is based on our stuff, right? You know, our equipment, you know. So that's
shooter. So they found the main shooter dead. They found him dead, huh?
Ooh. Did he commit? He wants to commit a suicide.
Look, if you ain't right? doing nothing tomorrow morning, come on over to Jefferson Baptist Church there on Jefferson, right off of Sherwood. About you want pancakes? Come at 7. You want to attend the meeting, which is going to last about 4. Get there about 8.
Sherwood.
Sherwood is off the trail around exit 6, or exit 4. Exit 4.
That's way out of my range.
Well, it's going to be some good talking there. You got GPS. It'll take you right to the door.
Yep. But yeah, that's the deal. All this stuff, you know. I mean, I've said it before with the Democrats. It's not about hypocrisy. It's about hierarchy. They're in power and you're not. That's what it is. That's how come you never see anything done to the people like the Clintons and the Bidens and the Obamas and Comey and Clapper and Brennan and any number of these media people that have been participating in the ongoing coup against President Trump, you know. You know, so it's all about hierarchy. Guys.
That's usually what it's all about. Power.
Yep, about power. And the exercise of power.
Yeah.
And that's my big problem that I've had over the long term with the Republicans. When they got in power, they refused to use it. All right?
Yep.
They'd almost rather be...
Mike, the Republicans, when they got in power, they used their power. They used their power to do what it took to continue to make sure the laundry machine was still working.
Yeah. But essentially what they should have been doing is using their power to make sure that America was safe.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They're, as long as they're safe, America is safe. They never mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way it is. They're not going to jeopardize their goddamn laundry machine. You know, that's just how it's going to end up being, you know.
when you got people like Nikki Haley and fucking what's his name from South Carolina, they're all, oh, we want to bomb Iran, you know, fucking
South Carolina. What happened to their Freedom Caucus in South Carolina? I thought they went rogue.
Right.
I mean, I heard there was like some crazy stuff they were implementing that down in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Who from South Carolina said they want to bomb Iran? Tim Scott?
Lindsey Graham.
Oh, well. What do you expect?
The woman of the Senate has said succinctly by the late RBG, the woman of the Senate, Lindsey Graham.
What the heck's that noise? It sounds like somebody's dripping water in a bucket.
Sounds like somebody's fooling around with a microphone.
It wasn't me.
It was not I.
Robert, get order of your show, Robert. Get order of your show. What's going on here?
I'm not exactly sure. I had a couple of things I had to do, so I was out of the room for a few minutes. But one of the things that's going on right now is that...
Man, we've got the background noise.
I have no idea what that is.
How rude.
Well, it's not me. I'm rearranging drawers.
whoever it is, rude, man.
Yeah, there's...
And Joe Gibson, you tell me when you want me to come over and get on the street campaigning and passing out your literature. You hear me?
Yeah, come on up. I'm coming down tomorrow to your church. Bianchi, I'm telling you, man, I don't know about you, man. Sometimes you say some things that drive me crazy. I just don't understand why you – I don't understand where you're coming from. Boomer's got the background noise. Robert, can you mute everybody? I mean, that's trying to drive me crazy. I'm ready to hang up. That's driving you nuts, man.
No, I can try that here.
Yeah, just mute one by one and figure out who it is that's making the background noise.
Well, it's not Mike. Don't think it's Joe Gibson. Might be Sarge.
It's somebody doing something that they're not aware that they're not even aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stopped when I clicked on when I muted Sarge.
It's Sarge.
Sarge said he was rearranging drawers, but you know I didn't think we were into drawers.
We're heading towards since it's kind of a lull in the conversation right now. We're heading towards towards the end of the second hour. Sally Ann, Sally in chat room put in her stuff for her show on Monday. It's a United Sovereign Americans resolution is the solution. Remember Monday night show? And she put that, her show is coming up. Lori Ann, do you want to talk about your show on Sunday?
Sure. Yeah. Valerie should be back as my co-host again, and we'll go over the latest and greatest that's been going on in the news this past week. So Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann, Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tune in and call in, and should be a good show. Lots of stuff to cover.
Question, Lori Ann. Do you do like two shows on Sunday? Back to back?
I did last Sunday because I was having audio issues and you know, people were breaking up and stuff like that, and
I remember
we were already into overtime. So I created a second show as a part two. Normally it's just one show. But then during part two, we didn't have any audio problems. So go figure.
Yeah.
Well, I was curious. I got a little mixed up with the shows last week, and just wondered, you know, like I thought I missed a show in there for the same day. So
okay. Well, we also have I'm not sure if Vincent's going to have a show tomorrow night. If he does, then it'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon of 3 to 5 Eastern time. And Donnie C. will have his show Beyond the Mainstream. Sally will have her show American Statesman. And then, of course, there's Crazy Nation Radio with Joe, or Ron, I'm sorry.
Ron, yeah.
Ron Ray.
Ron did say he was going to have a show tonight. Now, with him, it's iffy, but he did say when he had a show last night, he did say he was going to do one tonight as well. So, and that's going to be in probably, I would say less than 30 minutes maybe a little bit more, depending on whether or not he gets, 10 o'clock our time, my time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that'll be pretty soon, in fact, if he gets off his ass and does something about it, but never know with him.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get this in here while we had this lull. So we've got a bunch of shows coming up. And with Sally, I've been going in and listening to her show constantly. I know I go into Lori Ann's show, and I try to get there for Donnie C's, but most of the time I'm running a camera at church when his show comes on, so it's almost over by the time I get back, so I listen to his archive. So, but... No, Sarge is still there. I guess he's still working.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarge, what you doing?
I just... Yeah. Well, one of the things...
I'll say this. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, and with the whole thing about Israel and the land and stuff, the thing about the Bible, as I see it, the Bible is a pretty credible history book. Because everything, a lot of that stuff that happened in that book has been scientifically proven and anthropologically proven to be true. And that's what I was talking about with the whole thing with Sodom and Gomorrah and where exactly those cities are and how they proved it to be true. They dug in the area where they thought they were, and they found like pottery and shit and all kinds of stuff there. So tools and pottery and fucking all kinds of stuff. So they proved that those cities exist, and it was all under like volcanic type ash type stuff. So a lot of volcanic ash / what's that stuff? Brimstone, whatever you want to call that stuff, you know? So yeah, it's a pretty credible, the Bible is a pretty credible history book, you know?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of that, right? I mean, they talked about not one stone will be left on another one in terms of the temple. Well, here's the deal: what happened when the Romans invaded in
65 AD or whatever it was, you know, they took the temple down except for the eastern wall. They took the temple down, and not one stone was left on the other one. So everything, just about everything that is said in that book is basically almost true, you know. You know, where the ark is, where the, just everything. I mean,
you know why there wasn't no stone on left? Because they didn't use mortar back in them days.
Well, yeah, but those stones were heavy. And, the only stones that are left are the eastern gate of the temple. That's the only one, but those were such big stones that they couldn't do anything with them, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's in front of that gate is a Muslim graveyard. You know, so, and you know why that is? Because the Muslims believe the Bible. The Muslims believe that Jesus is going to come back and try and go in through that gate, and they don't want any Jews going in through that gate, right? That's why they say, well, because we buried our people in front of that gate, you're not going to be able to go in that gate. But how's a dead person going to stop somebody from going into a gate, you know? That's That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, Islam, for the most part, doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think Islam makes any sense to even the Muslims.
Yeah, I don't think it does either.
Not to the average Muslim.
Yeah, I have another Skype caller here that called in, and I let them in. So,
but you know, there is one thing that we all got to remember: Jesus was born a Jew, and Jesus died a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's for sure. Joe Gibson dropped, so he's not there anymore. Probably call back in, maybe. But I was one of the things that was brought up to me, by Sally. She gave me a link to a thing that had the headlines, Muslim leaders admit Palestinians don't exist. And the story says the Palestinian people don't exist as a historical group, but they do exist as a political ploy used by the PLO and other Muslim extremists for their own selfish purposes. These Palestinian people are refugees from the Middle East, from the Muslim nations, will not accept as citizens, but will use grunt workers in their fields and orchards. And it's a long, good-sized article there, but it's she put the link in the chat room. It's donboys.cstnews.com, and it's there. And she put it in the chat room. Not sure how far back it is now, but it's probably a ways back. It was an interesting article. I read most a good portion of it while you guys were talking.
Were we talking? I thought we were yelling over
time,
yes. Each other. Am I right,
Sarge,
or wrong?
Hey, Sarge, you there? I guess not. He must be busy still. Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, everything's gonna blow up once they try to put him in jail for this crazy ass judge's gag order up
yeah.
there in New York.
Well, there was
Trump supporters.
Yep. Go ahead.
Trump supporters should be marching around those courthouses like the story of Joshua marching around the city sometimes. But they not.
I found an article by that was on Western Journal, and it was about something that Tucker Carlson warned about. And he said that Tucker Carlson warned earlier this week that he feels America is on the brink of collapse as he discussed the country's immigration, foreign policy stances, spending, and social division. He said he was addressing a crowd at the Daily Caller's News Foundation gala on Tuesday when he shared some ominous thoughts. Yeah?
Hello?
Okay. He said that
Hello?
when each candidate, or when then-candidate Donald Trump sparked calls for the government to work on behalf of the people in early 2016, he expected elected officials to straighten up, but at least for a little while, the opposite happened. It's crazy. And the things that he said there was pretty interesting because he was talking about how with the things that are going wrong here in America, that you would think that the politicians would pull together and start fighting together to save this country, but they're not. They're actually splitting off in different factions and going off in their own ways. And I hadn't actually thought about this, but you know, once I read that, it actually does make sense for what's going on. What do you guys think
of
this?
There's people that are going to profit from the demise.
Yeah.
You know, talk about Build Back Better. In the past year, a report came out that there are something like 12 million more people have dipped into poverty. But the economy is supposed to be so good. You know, but, the people, our savings are dwindling. Contributions to retirement accounts are at almost all-time lows. More people
mm-hmm.
dipping into poverty, having to apply for food stamps and things. And it's like, and yet, you know, we have, you know, bumblebee as pants Biden, you know, touting, oh, the economy's doing so great. You know, see, my plan's working. You know, it's like, no.
and the problem
not
is
at all.
That when he says
his plan
when he says that kind of thing, nobody says, hey, no, wait, that's a lie. They just shut up and they let him talk.
No, his plan, Biden's plan, is actually working very, very well.
Yeah,
it is. It's the plan that he's using, and he is working it extremely, extremely well, and that is Cloward and Pivens. You know?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the plan. I mean, he's the cabal's puppet.
Overwhelm the system. Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
and you can bet that, you know, who's profiting off of all of this, you know? That's what you got to think about, too. You know, the climate agenda, they're the ones that are profiting off of it. You know, it's just, this is a global thing. This is the cabal at work, you know. And it's not just us, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's not just us. You know, the economies are going downhill in all kinds of countries, and that's the plan.
Yeah,
people
and that's
think,
always been the plan.
Yeah, people think, you know, people think that the Chinese economy is going great right now, but no, they're having their problems too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they are. And,
oh yeah, absolutely.
And of course, the media is not going to talk about that one, but against their agenda. But
they don't want to offend their Chinese overlords with the truth.
Yeah. Well, everybody is going into shithole, whether
mm-hmm.
you know it or not. No matter what they say, everybody is going in this shithole.
Yep.
I can't remember where I read this, and I just kind of blew it off when I read it. Just, you know, it was one of those things where you just go, huh, you know, when you read it.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't make any sense when you read it. And
right.
What I'm going to tell you probably is not going to make any sense to you guys either. And I don't blame you, and I don't care, tell you the truth. But I read that, and this was somewhere, and I can't remember the book, and I can't remember the author, but I believe the book may have been Communion by Wesley Strieber, something like that. Anyway, in the book was a statement that I just can't believe that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the statement said is that all of the souls, there are billions of souls in heaven, you know, and that our population has grown to where, you know, if you believe in souls and stuff, that most souls, even though we don't realize it, our own souls have a history, and they remember, you know, our souls remember everything that they went through when they were in this plane of existence, being born and then dying, and they're that much, they have that much more knowledge or understanding. Okay. Well, in this, if you think of it like this, in this statement, he said that millions of souls are exiting heaven to come down here to be born as a human to experience something that is going to happen. And it's something that is going to be so either amazingly wonderful or amazingly terrible. But it's going to be amazing no matter what, you know, which way it goes. And all the souls that come down here to witness this event. And so, you know, and I look at what is going on around this world and the possibilities of destruction naturally, you know, by nature. I mean, we've had flurries and flurries of plus 5 magnitude earthquakes all over the place, you know. hurricanes and all of that stuff. And it could be natural phenomenon that's going to happen, or it's going to be man-made phenomenon that's going to happen. And, you know, now that you look at the proliferation of supposedly nuclear weapons around the world, that we can destroy ourselves four or five times over, or it may be that before that happens, that these quote unquote aliens, space aliens, are going to come down here and save our fucking asses, keep us from destroying ourselves. But it's going to be something of a awesomely amazing revelation or whatever, and that why our population has boomed so much. Just throw that out on the table. You know.
Well, then you got
to ponder.
What about the asteroids?
Well,
huh?
Then you.
No, I asked, what about the asteroids? Go ahead.
If you get off talking to people about me behind my back, going over my head.
What people?
What people would you think I wasn't going to find out?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Nick.
Well, you know, then look, this is Gunslinger. Then you got to look at when aliens fly by this planet Earth, they lock their fucking doors.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't fly by this fucking planet without locking my doors and getting a 50 caliber laser out.
Mm.
Okay, as crazy as this is down here, you know.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, Gunslinger, I think there's already aliens here. You look at Zuckerberg, you look at Adam Schiff.
Yep.
I mean, look at Adam Schiff.
Yeah, you look at asshole on crack, and you look at Rashida Tlaib.
Well, yeah, but those, they claim that there's, what is there, what do you call them, shake shifters or whatever. They claim Clinton's one of them, you know, Hitlery. I am. Supposedly turned into lizards or whatever, you know. Who knows?
Fucking
I wouldn't
out.
Be a bit surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
What's going on in the background?
I'm not sure.
No idea.
What kind of noise is it?
Like someone arguing or something in the background.
Oh.
I don't know if somebody's playing like a clip in the background or what.
Well, I thought I heard a clip go by, but you know, I ain't gonna say nothing.
See, I thought it was too.
I could have sworn I heard one too.
Yeah, me too. If you hear rain, it's just on my end. It's just, you know, still raining cats and dogs out here.
Is it raining cats and dogs?
Looks like we have another Skype caller.
That's a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a new one for here. We haven't seen anything. See, that wet stuff, I thought, damn, what is that shit out there? Somebody pissing off my roof or something? Sheesh. Haven't seen that in a while.
Hey,
you're beginning
to. I'm getting wet out here. What's going on?
You're beginning to sound like a fucking Californian, you know.
Oh hell, forbid that. Sheesh.
Well, that's what you're beginning to sound like, Gunn, because you know they're always out there crying that they're not getting any rain, and then when they do get rain, they cry that they're getting too much rain. You know. Mm.
Turn it
off.
Just about every goddamn thing out there.
Well, I love
our friends Rob and Suzette, but they cry. The Californians cry about just about everything, not just the rain. oh, we got this goddamn fish that we got to protect, and we got this, and we got that, and we're gonna get rid of gas-powered vehicles by 2030 and all this shit, you know. And it's like they're crying. They keep crying and crying and crying. They're the cryingest state in the union is California.
Well, they're always full of shit. What don't
no
they
doubt.
Cry about? What don't they cry about?
I'm
going to
go ahead and bring in Montana Joe and Skype caller real quick. Uh-oh. Montana Joe, you got that feedback going on.
Yeah, I know. Okay, hello, people.
Hello.
I was listening to you, when you said Skype caller. That reminded me, Warren Brother Warren is not finished with you guys yet. He was on one of these Block Talk shows a few days ago, and he was complaining about how he was taken off the air by the white supremacists and the black conservatives, who were, of course, following in the shadow of the white supremacists.
Oh,
so,
God.
You're not finished with me. He didn't mention anybody by name, but he was talking about how all of you guys got together and conspired because he was so effective in pointing out, the deficiencies of the white supremacists and the black conservatives. So I thought I'd let you guys know.
Historic, if you think about it. That's pretty historic. The white supremacists colluded and agreed with each other to work together to bring him down with the black conservatives. The black conservatives and white supremacists teamed up.
Oh, so wait. So he's blaming,
in unity.
He's blaming us.
Yeah.
He's blaming us along with Sarge and Pianchi.
Yep.
Yeah, but like I said, he didn't mention any names. I think he's probably pretty careful about not mentioning any names, since, again, Laurianne, maybe some other people had sent into BTR some snapshots of what he said in the chat room. But
yep.
he's not, of course, admitting that he actually defamed or slandered anybody. He was just saying he described, you know, how the white supremacists are really the white supremacists and the black conservatives are, what does he call them, the emotional support dogs or something like that.
Yeah, black emotional lapdog.
Oh, God.
Something like that, yeah. So, you still got your favorite arch enemy around somewhere, somehow, hoping to come back, I guess.
Well, at least for now.
Well, here's the question you need to ask what's his name? about all this, saying, can you explain how we have been so successful at blocking or banning you, but yet all of the liberals on Facebook and all the media stuff have been successful in banning and censoring us conservatives? How does that work, you know, that they allowed us to ban you? I don't understand how that has been allowed. You must explain yourself a little more of how that all happened, you know.
I wouldn't even entertain that thought, because that would just keep them going. Like I said, he's not trying to promote equality amongst the races. What he's doing is just promoting attention to himself. He doesn't care if it's negative, probably prefers it to be negative. And like I said before, there's another guy like him that comes on BTR. Only this other guy's agenda is to stir up negative reactions about relationships. Warren, his agenda is, I'm going to make everybody pay attention to the Chinese and me, because that's what I love, the attention. That's about it.
Yeah, we're
now,
going into
it. I need to ask, I'm sorry, but I need to ask this question. Okay. Now, I am not sure who you're speaking of when you speak of Warren. However, I know of I've heard of and have had conversation with some guy who sounds like what you're describing, Warren, out of New Orleans. Now,
New
is
Orleans,
the same guy.
What his show was.
His show was New Orleans Wake Up.
Well, his show was that. He has been successfully expelled from BTR in terms of his show, but he sure squirmed his way in to come on another show to show about how, you know, inequality is rampant.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this guy, I never listened to his show, but he always called into other shows that I was listening to. And I'm just,
he was a troll. He loved to hijack conservative shows.
Since I'm kind of the new guy on the block again in here, I'm just trying to figure out, okay, who the hell are you talking about, Warren? You know, it's like everybody kind of picks out their own nickname or gets their own name or somebody
calls
them
something. No, you nailed it on the head.
And it stinks. Huh?
No, you nailed it right on the head. Right.
Okay, well,
you nailed it on the head. He's got a show. Yeah.
Okay, well, I was just, I was curious. I just wanted to make sure that who I thought I was thinking was Warren. So that's all I just wanted to confirm it in my own head. I don't know why, but, you know, what the hell, you know.
Well, you'll probably hear him again at some other shows. I mean, his show is expelled, but he himself obviously is not. So I'm sure he'll puck out another show that, of course, is always going to be talking about how poor me. Now, that doesn't mean to say that blacks don't have a decent argument in some areas, but I've never gotten a decent argument, not even from Nash, about systemic racism. Racism does exist. Does it exist to the point where black people today are absolutely denied access to good neighborhoods, good schools, and good jobs? Haven't heard an argument about that ever.
Well, you know, racism is not illegal. It's illegal when you violate a U.S. citizen's civil rights. Because the terminology of racism is as broad as the horizon today in 2023. Anything is racist. But until I see, like they've done in Minneapolis, where they are firing white teachers with more experience and tenure than black teachers, they firing the whites first. That's racism.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like me, myself, and I. Okay, I got a white beard. I got fish belly white belly, and this summer I was down south, and I got tanned, and I'm just wondering if I can get into any restaurants down there.
Hey, you could probably do it here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, yeah, look, Bianchi's right about the racism. Look, I think racism is actually a thought process. But when the thought process actually transforms itself into action where discrimination unfairly, unjustly, not just unfairly, but unjustly keeps people out from whatever their human rights entitles them to, then that racism is really dangerous. So, again, I have not heard anybody describe, outside of the judicial system, which I do believe is unfair towards blacks, when you take a look at statistics about how when a white person and a black person who has committed approximately the same crime, almost identically the same crime, that the black person gets a far longer sentence, gets worse representation in court, that probably has more legitimacy than any other kind of argument with regards to neighborhoods and schools and promotion up the ladder. But when that racism that a person feels is just in one's mind, discrimination is a part of human nature. That's how we marry the people we want and discard the people we don't want. Discrimination. But when your human rights are being affected, but when your human rights is being affected.
Yeah.
And you know what the biggest example of racism is today, Joe? And I know I cut you off. I'm sorry. The biggest example of racism today is what's going on to Donald Trump and also January the 6th crowd.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if that's racism, Bianchi, but that sure as hell is discrimination. When you take a look at January 6th, what happened to those people being thrown into solitary confinement for the past 2 years, whereas the Hamas and Palestinian demonstrations of the past few days, which were a lot more, from what I read, a lot, not just more boisterous, but had clashes with the police, and they were not considered insurrections, even though they took over the Kentucky, and I think in D.C. they took over a municipal building. That's not an insurrection. But people walking into the Capitol, okay, with the doors being let open by the Capitol Police, that's an insurrection. Kiss my fucking ass.
And the other thing I wanted to know about insurrection is when or where can you point out in history, in the books of the world, where an insurrection has ever happened without weapons?
Well, you know, back in the 70s when the Black Panthers walked into California General Assembly while they was in session, causing everybody to get up and flee, was that an insurrection? They had weapons.
Yeah.
But they did. I don't think they drew them. I think they wore them on their shoulders, right? I don't think they drew their weapons.
Well, what about what happened in Ohio with those new Black Panthers, where they were at those voting places? And they were dressed in fatigues and batons and stuff, maybe a gun here and there and stuff like that, you know?
The new Black Panthers is not the same as the old Black Panthers. The new Black Panthers are about intimidation.
Here's the deal. By their definition, there's a definition for a current definition for an insurrection is, and this is their definition, the interruption of government business, right? Because what January 6th was kind of government business about the election and all that shit, but if that's gonna be your definition of an insurrection, then what happened when Jamal Bowman pulled down that damn fire alarm? What happened? His goal was to stop a vote that was taking place in the House of Representatives. Well, that's their job. Their job is to vote on things, right? That he was interrupting government business by pulling that fire alarm.
Yep.
Now we know that definition is stupid, okay? That definition
is stupid,
interruption of government. I know what you're
but
saying.
But that's the definition they've been using.
Absolutely, I know what you're saying. But the other caller was talking about how can you have an insurrection without weapons. I'm along with him. But one thing I did not know until later on was that the House was in session at the time when the people came in. And who was it? Was it Babbitt or whoever that woman was banging on the door with brick and breaking down the door? I can kind of see the point where if I'm inside that particular House, right, and I'm here, they don't have weapons. Pelosi's there. Some of the other people are there. They don't have weapons. Man, they don't know what's going on, but they know that there's a crowd outside the chamber breaking in, and they don't know that the Capitol Police let them in. I would be scared shitless. I would think my life would be in danger. Not AOC's life. AOC was a building away. I'm talking about those people in that chamber. I would be fucking afraid. Because, oh, what the fuck? All of a sudden, bang, 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 you know, and then you hear the gunshot?
But again,
even so.
Again, well, I wonder what gunshot they heard. Was it the gunshot from the ones? Was the bullet? Was it the gun
it was
that
from the
shot?
Cop.
It was the cop
it
that
was.
Shot Ashley Babbitt.
Right, it was the cop. So, but they don't know that.
That was
they're
the,
on
that
the
was,
ground. They're hugging. They're hugging dirt.
That was
okay.
The only gunshot.
So they don't
in the
know
home.
That.
Yep.
Well, if
yeah, that was the only
gunshot. If it's happening to Democrats and to blacks, it's racism. Anything else is not.
Yeah.
It's just like in Georgia. In Georgia, where you in Fulton County, where they claimed that they was handing out water and they didn't want blacks to have water. And it was hot. Well, it's not that they didn't want them to have water. They didn't want them to have water bottles with one of the candidates' picture and campaign information on it within a certain distance of the polling booth. Of the poll station. That's what the issue was. But no, they made it into a racist issue saying that, well, they wouldn't let blacks have water.
Well, both sides are always going to exaggerate what's going on. Anytime you hear from the far right, the Democrats are always to blame no matter what. If you hear from the far left, Republicans are always to blame no matter what. My particular opinion, they both suck. They're both in collusion with bringing down America, and they're going to use whatever propaganda is at their disposal.
Joe, this is what Dan Bongino said about this. He says the Republicans may not be the problem, be hurting you, but you're damn sure that the Democrats are trying intentionally to. So, yeah, this is one side may not appear to be hurting you, but the other side, their goal is to hurt you. So, yeah, it is what it is with these things. And the fact of the matter is that I've said before about the whole thing on January 6th. One, those people had all the right in the world to be in the Congress, because we own you, me, Joe, Laurianne, Sarge, we own the Congress. We own that building. It's the people's building. They work in the people's building. They call it, they go, we're doing the people's work, right? Well, they're working in the people's building. It's our building. So it's all about that, but also they call it an insurrection because they, again, it's a hierarchical thing. The Democrats, even though we may think that the Republicans have some power, no, right now it tends to be that the Democrats have all the power, particularly, you know, then because we have most Republicans aren't Democrats, but you can't. But there are no Democrats; there are Republicans. So that's the deal. These people have the power, and the winners write the history, right? Winners write the history, and right now, for some reason, in our minds, we believe that that one side of the aisle has more wins than the other side. And those are the people that get to write the history. That's why we get, instead of the January 6th being about redress of grievances, which it should be about, it's about a quote-unquote insurrection.
But that's the problem. They don't think it's we the people. It's them. They think they own it. They think they run it, and they run it the way they want to.
Yep.
Because none of the people out here has gone up there in large masses and whooped their asses. You know, their asses need to be whooped once in a while. Okay? What do you think if you keep letting little Johnny get in the nookie jar all the time? If you spank his ass once in a while, then little Johnny doesn't get into the nookie jar, does he? No, he don't, because he's learned his lesson. These people haven't been spanked in a long time. Decades upon decades.
Well, I mean, think about this, Glenn. Think about what just recently happened in Texas. The establishment got their asses whooped when they tried to impeach your AG over there. Okay. They got their asses whooped. You know?
And that's the way it should be. You know, it should be that way all over the country, especially in Washington, deceive us, because that's the worst place. That's where all the corruption comes from, is them idiots.
Yep.
If they got their rear-ended tanned here and there, then they wouldn't be that corrupt, would they? Wouldn't think so.
If we had more people like the gunslinger who took the battle to that mayor back in 99 or whatever, whenever it was, if more people acted like the gunslinger did,
yep,
we'd be in a much better place.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
In today's society, yeah. Because most people out there, and I'm not saying all of them, they're pussies.
Yep.
They'll go along to get along, baby. Fuck that. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to offend people. That's my middle name. Gunslinger offending motherfucker. I want to offend people just to show them how stupid they are. Okay? I mean, it's you got to fight fire with fire. Okay? You can't just go around, you know, oh, I'm afraid to touch this. I'm sorry, Mr. Plastic. I'm sorry I touched you. See that kind of bullshit? I'll take a goddamn hammer and beat the shit out of you. How you like that one, Mr. Object? Where is a real man gone? I mean, seriously. Where are they gone?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you can't have it. Can't have it like that. In a civilized society, the way you spank people, it's through rational law and order. I can't have people just going up and saying, well, I don't, you know, I don't care if you're a president or not, okay? So, but you can't have it. Everybody did it, then you would have chaos. The purpose of the public is to minimize chaos. And you can't, even though we own the building, you cannot go to a DMV, you can't go to a Capitol building, you can't go to a municipal hospital, walk in there, climb over the desk and say, this building belongs to me, I'm going to have lunch right here. We elect people in order to have a hierarchy and order so that we can have a structure of peace without chaos. What we have is not the problem with the hierarchy, it's the problem with corruption. And the problem does not lie just with the Democrats. Because even if you have 60 Democrats, 40 Republicans, and supposedly the Democrats only control the House, right, or control the Senate, if you have 40 honest Republicans, you could have filibusters that would limit the laws that the Democrats have passed. What we have is a vulture on the left wing, but the Democrats on the right wing and the Republicans, and they're cutting up the pie for their lobbyists. Remember, the Republicans said, well, you know what? We would never would have voted for Obamacare. And then what happens? Trump gets elected into office, Obamacare comes up. What do the Republicans do? They still allow Obamacare to exist. So they're full of shit, too. Don't fool yourself into thinking, oh, it's only bad for people, not the Republicans. They're just weak. No. Both parties are contributing to the downfall of America knowingly. That's stupid. They're all paid off, and they're doing it because they're paid off. All of them.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, the just another example of stupid ass people. The people in that bar and up there in that bowling alley that wasn't armed. And let the guys just come in there and mow them down like ducks in a damn pond. That's what happened. Okay. You create your own reality there. In today's society, if you better have a gun on you, okay, or you go get into something like that. And from what I've read so far, the guy wasn't wearing no body armor, okay. A fucking 22 could have took him out.
Yep.
But yet,
can you imagine in Maine? Someone told me that Maine is an open carry state. I don't know. But all those people, none of them had a gun to fire back at that idiot.
Yeah, none of them. I'm going, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. It's just like that, that theater up there in Colorado that time with that nutcase Fruit Loop, okay, that went into that theater. Nobody had a gun in there, okay? Oh, it's a gun-free zone. But if two of them had a gun in that theater up there in Colorado, both of them could have took that sub-bitch out within seconds. Okay?
Yep.
You go into a place like that bowling alley. You go in there into a fire-ready position. You don't have the gun pointed up on a holster, on a strap. You don't have the gun pointed down. You have it in a fire-ready position to lock and load and rock and roll. I'd be emptying my goddamn clip out, that motherfucker. Okay? But nobody there. Nobody had a gun. See what you get? Stupid. You get killed for stupidity is what you do. And those people that tried to rush the guy, what are you going to do? Bring a knife to a gunfight? What is rushing that guy going to do for you? Get yourself killed. And it did. It did. Okay.
Yeah, but they were brave guys. The thing is, you're right. The thing, but the politicians, it's not just about stupidity. Well, yeah, it is kind of stupid because of people brainwashed. The politicians are enforcing laws.
Montana Joe, you sound pretty far away.
You sound like it's going to oil.
I'm hearing you.
Oh, sorry. How's this? Is this better? Hello?
A little bit. Hello. Keep talking.
Really?
Still sound kind of far away, but it's a little better.
A little better? All right. I don't know. Let me see if it's better. Okay. Let me know when it's bad.
Yeah, that's better.
This should have been good. This is better? Okay,
yeah,
thanks. The thing is, the Second Amendment says you cannot impinge upon the rights to bear arms. That means we don't need background checks. We should be able to carry whatever we want to carry, just like what they did in the Old West with the old 45s.
Absolutely.
Watch those laws, those regulations, carry them, because of everybody. If I'm a psychotic, and I want to kill you, but I think everybody's got a gun on, I think even though I'm a psychotic, I might think twice about it, pulling out my 45, you know?
Yeah. Yep. It would be a lot safer place because my old saying, and it's a true old saying, that an armed society is a polite society, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had trouble back in a while. Well, they surely did. Nobody's perfect. But there was a lot less crime, okay? Because whether you're for concealed or whether you're for open carry, a criminal is going to see you with a gun on your side, and that criminal, unless he's doped up, fucked up, or whatever, is going to think, that dude's got a gun, and he may know how to use it. So I'm going to go over here and take my chances with little Miss Sassafras over here that I know this millennium idiot, pink hair and all kinds of goddamn tattoos, he ain't got no gun, so I'm going to go over and rob him. See the difference? Big difference.
You want to talk about stupidity. I've had arguments with people about, okay, listen, I'm talking about my conversations with these people. I said, where would you rather live? And these are the people who love gun control. I said, would you rather live in a neighborhood in which nobody has any arms, okay? Or would you rather live in the adjoining community, which may be 100 yards away, where everybody has a gun. Now, those with gun control stupidities, they say, nah, I want to live in the community where nobody has a gun. Okay, fine. Now, down the road a little bit, you got the Hells Angels, you got the Outlaws, you've got all kinds of criminals. Now, who are they going to go for on a Saturday night? Are they going to go for the people who have the guns or the people without the guns? Do you know these assholes will say, well, you know what, it depends, but I think that probably they'll probably go for the people with the guns. I'll go, wait a minute, excuse me. You know, and I feel like
absolutely.
That just, you know,
absolutely.
take your ass, and propel yourself to the moon. They're going to go after the community with guns.
Yep.
And they're thinking, well, yeah, man. I'll be slapping the shit out of you. I say, you go live in your gun-free zone, let them come over and let them decide which community they want to rob, and I'll bet you'll be dead on Monday morning. But, you know, they don't want to listen.
They don't want to listen. Well, it's just like when the guy was found dead. The cops didn't shoot him. Okay, he shot himself, which is good. Obviously, another scumbag taking his own self out. But in most cases, it's not really the police that stopped this, that stops things like that, even in everyday carry out here. It's 9 times out of 10, it's a guy that's got a gun that's a civilian, and sees a crime or a crime being committed on him, that pulls out a gun and stops it. The cops just come up there for the paperwork, okay, or the body bag, whichever one you want to choose.
You're right, and you're not exaggerating. Do you know official statistics say that more crimes are stopped by people, civilians with guns, than they are by cops?
That's right.
Look at what happened with Trayvon Martin, guys. Right. When did that gun get fired? That gun got fired only after Trayvon Martin jumped on this on George Zimmerman and started to pound his ass into the ground. Right? He was pounding his head on the ground. They took pictures of the back of his head. You could see where he was bleeding from the back of his head, you know, from the pounding he was taking. If Zimmerman hadn't done what he'd done, he'd be dead.
Look, in Texas, it wouldn't even go that far. I see you coming toward me in an aggressive manner. You could be holding up your fist. Fist and feet are considered deadly weapons. You're dead within 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming at me, okay? And that's the law. That's the law here in Texas, okay? Now, I can't speak for any other state, but here in Texas, that's the law. You fear for your life, okay, and you can't do nothing about it, you know, and the guy's 6'8" and 450 goddamn pounds coming at you like a bull in a damn china closet, you have no other choice, okay? You shouldn't have done it. Plain and simple. But, you know,
when you're too slow to run and too old to take an ass whooping, you shoot the motherfucker.
But you got it right there. Yep, that's true.
You know what I don't like? There's a law, I think it's in New York, but I may be wrong, that in New York, boy, you talk about some stupid laws. If you have a burglar coming inside your house or your apartment, you can't shoot that burglar. If the burglar absolutely gets his ass through the window, stands up, and is looking at you, you can't shoot him because there's an exit for him to go through. So you can't shoot him. But what really gets me, and I think it's in New York, that if you walk away and then you turn around and you see that guy still walking towards you, you still can't shoot him. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm supposed to wait until he takes out a knife or a gun himself and blows my fucking head off? You got to be out of your mind.
The ones in New York, they are out of their mind. We know a guy, I won't mention his name, but he has a carry permit for the state of New York, not the city of New York. That's a different country. He can't even go in to the city of New York with a license to carry, okay? Now, these people are so fucking strict up there, thanks to that New York Safe Act and everything, that it doesn't matter what caliber weapon you carry, okay? Say you carry a 9mm. you have to have a permit for that, to carry that. Say the next day you want to carry your 357 Magnum, you have to have a permit for that. Say the next day you want to carry your 45 ACP, you have to have a permit for that weapon. You have to have a permit for every fucking caliber of weapon that you choose. And if you happen to forget and say, well, today I'm going to carry my 357, but I made a mistake, I carry my 9mm, and you get pulled over, you're going to prison. That's how fucked up it is up there.
Well, you think that's messed up. Gunslinger, you think that's messed up. In Chicago, if the police pull you over and find a 45 bullet in your pocket, you better have a federal authorization identification card for a 45. If you don't, you go into jail.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the same way up in New York, too, that you can't even go into a gun store up there, the very few that there is, and you can't even pick up. Say, you tell the guy at the counter, say, I want to look at that 357. You can't even touch that weapon unless you got a carry permit. They will not let you touch that weapon unless you got a carry permit. That's how fucked up it is. Down here, they encourage, hey, yeah, I want to show you, I want to see that 357. Oh, sure, here it is right here. Look at it. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know? Boy, you talk about crazy. They are crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You remember the days, because I'm old enough to remember the days back in the 50s and 60s. Well, I can't think of the 50s and 60s, but I am. I have read about the articles where back then when kids could go to school with their rifles slung over their shoulders, you know, and then put inside the cars and the trucks. And then when they get out of school, they take their guns and they go to the firing range, or they go out in the woods and they shoot squirrels. And that's when you're 14, 15, and 16.
Yep.
And now
exactly.
Look at what's going on.
Do you also remember back then when that was happening and you had your gun in your window of your pickup truck or whatever, that a teacher would come out to your car while you're there and ask to look at your gun, and then a teacher will show you his gun. And then you'll sit around and you'll bullshit about the guns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
And here's what's funny about that. Here's what's funny about that, guys. That those guys, let's just say during hunting season, right? The guys go on early Saturday morning, go set up in the deer stand for a couple of days. And then they come in on Monday morning and come to school, right? Well, what's in the back? What's in their window in their truck? They got their hunting rifle, right?
Yeah, shotgun,
you know,
the rifle, the
shotgun, hunting rifle, whatever. Can you tell me how many with that happening? How many of these fucking school shootings took place at that period of time?
None. Zero. Look, you know, I graduated high school in 1983, DeSoto High School, just right outside of Dallas, Dallas suburb out there, okay? And even then, the rednecks and us truck, you know, guys that had the trucks and everything, we carried the rifles and shotguns in the back seat and in the back window. Fucking cops, the fucking cops knew about it, the fucking principal knew about it, the teacher knew about it, and everything was hunky-dory. You do that now, you'd have 10 SWAT teams down on you.
Yeah. By the way, Lorianna, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done. Good.
Lorianna, I sent you a text about a day or two ago. I know you didn't get it because I was testing out some texting apparatus, and I sent you and Gibson a text about a show, and Bob, you'd be interested in this too, and everybody else would too. About Sally's show on Monday, where she had on some guests talking about how they might be able to actually provide proof that the elections in any of the states were illegal, because their approach wouldn't be to show that the election results were obtained illegally. They would be using a civil rights civil suit approach, showing that the rosters were miscounted. And by law, if these rosters for voter registration had been miscounted, supposedly, if so fact, it was fraud. And anybody, and if the municipal or state officials didn't follow up on it, then they would be implicated in the fraud as well. So I know I sent you the text, but I know you didn't get it. And I want to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but with my undiagnosed ADD, if I don't tell her now, tell the rest of you guys now, I forget about it until Sunday. Sorry.
Well, I
go
believe,
ahead.
I believe, I do believe that Lorianne mentioned that on her show.
Yeah.
Because I heard that, but I can't remember where I heard it, but I think it was on Lorianne's show.
Couldn't have been, because Lorianne's show is on Sunday and Sally's is on Monday. So Lorianne wouldn't have known about until after Monday. And
I heard that somewhere else, and I can't remember where. I think it was another show that Lorianne had called into, and I think that's
You might have heard about electioneering on her show before Sally's show, because Joe Gibson's major thrust right now is about honest elections. So you might have heard it on her show prior to Sally's show, but not about what I was talking
about.
Yeah,
we talked
about
like a coalition, election integrity laws and stuff that we wrote up a while back. Yeah, that might be what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But I like the civil suit idea, because a lot of times civil suits, the testimony and evidence presented in a civil suit will lend itself to criminal suits. As a result. So that approach, I think, is a good one. Whatever we can do, is what's needed. Whatever method it takes to change election laws so that they're actually, secure and not the fraud
mm-hmm.
that we've seen happen. We need that. No electronic voting machines without a paper copy, storing that data, all of the things that we've talked about, it just, no automatic voter registration. That's something that you should need to opt into, not opt out of. All that kind of stuff, no automatic, the push to automatically register 16 and 17-year-olds when they get their driver's licenses. And then we're supposed to trust that they're not going to get ballots sent to them, that they're not going to fill them out and they'll be counted when they shouldn't be, the checks and balances just aren't in place. It's fraudulent on so many levels.
Well, the thing that's also needed is that you have the paper ballots, and the ballots are counted where cast and reported that night, not transported across town or started to count 2 or 3 days after the end of the election. No, they count it that night. Kind of where cast and reported that night. And it needs to be separate ballots for federal candidates than state and local. And the Constitution allows Congress to do that. Because if you don't, if you have states that allow illegals to vote with the easiest of ease, and if they're voting state and local and you've got federal candidates on the ballot, well, they can just scoot right on up to the top and start marking marks alongside the federal candidates. And they're illegal, not supposed to be voting federal elections.
Yep, and everything that you're talking about, what Lorianne just mentioned, it might just lead to that. But again, their approach is not to try to show that the elections were rigged, okay, because that's already been knocked down by the Supreme Court and state courts. They're trying to show that through civil action, through a violation of human rights, civil rights, through a civil class action suit, that the the rosters were not counted properly, were not tabulated properly before the elections. Therefore, fraud even before the elections. They're not trying to say one person won and the other person didn't. They're just saying the way that the elections were done was fraudulently done by law. And these aren't just supposedly now. I don't know these people. But they've got volunteers working in a couple of states on this particular type of process. So this isn't just like, you know, a beginning of a grassroots movement. I think they've been working at it for a while. So that's why I mentioned it and would recommend go to Sally's show this past Monday. Download the show. And I would give you the name of the organization, but sorry, I've got age-old ADD. Sorry, guys.
And how old do you have to be to get that?
With me, about 15. But I've had it for a while. But you know, with me, I'm a senior citizen, so I've had it for a while. But it's undiagnosed. But it's actually better than it was a few years ago.
Okay, listen, Joe. I'm a senior citizen myself. I just want to know if I just want to know if I'm senior to you or you're senior to me.
I am the senior person on the show. I can practically guarantee it.
Then you're older than 72, right?
I am not saying how old I am. I'm just saying senior citizen. Oh, yeah.
I thought he said senior. I didn't know he said senior.
Yeah, senior.
Well, I know I'm not older than 72, but I'm getting there.
You know, the great Rush Limbaugh used to not call it senior citizens. He used to call it seasoned citizens.
Seasoned citizens, yeah.
Well, that's a nice name, too. I like that.
Yeah,
y'all have been
marinating for a long time.
Yep. I'm a marinated dude.
You've been tenderized once or twice, huh?
Yeah, and I liked it too. So you know, maybe I'll talk about that one day. You know, come to my relationship show when I have it again. I might talk about it, but I don't know until then. But you know, I'm glad to know that there are other people who are seniors in them, so we all know what it's like to be beyond 62, 65, 70, et cetera. And we've been around to know how America's changed. So, you know, not for the better.
Yep.
I'd like to ask people your opinion about the next 2 to 3 years, where you see America in the next 2 or 3 years. I can start off. And it's very grim. I think that America is headed for a complete collapse by 2025. I'm talking Mad Max, and I mean that literally. So if anybody else wants to answer.
It's going to be two things, Joe. It's going to be two things, collapse and civil war.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at this point in time, I don't see that happening at all. Because we'll be a country at war with the world.
Yep.
We're walking into another world war.
Well, and, that's a collapse.
Huh?
That's a collapse, right?
Well, not necessarily in America, but a collapse in the world, depending on how bad we get thumped in the process, you know? It's like, you get into a fisticuffs with somebody. Both sides come out hurt and gimping after the fight, you know.
Well,
so,
let me ask you: Do you see conventional warfare that America's going to be involved in, or the so-called limited nuclear warfare that people are predicting?
Well, we've already been in war. We've already been at war with China, mostly information and with the ones and zeros.
Now, I'm not talking about the war that we're in, the information war or any of that stuff. I'm talking a shooting war. We're headed to a shooting war, and as long as Biden's in office, we're marching towards a shooting war. You know. How can he claim to be a wartime president as he's trying to do right now if you're not in a shooting war?
Yeah, but
he's already deployed 2,000 troops, hasn't he, to Ukraine? So we are going to be in that shooting war. But I'm talking about the collapse of America. Do you think that shooting war in Ukraine, which is a war by proxy, if we send our boys over there, do you think that's going to affect America the way that I foresee it? I foresee Mad Max. Shooting, absolutely. Looting, gangs in the streets, people shooting at each other, military either taking part in it or they're going to stay out of it and just allow everybody to shoot each other up. It's going to be that bad. And no electricity, by the way.
Yeah.
I am sitting back here right now waiting for the somebody on national radio or whatever to say John has a big mustache. That's all I'm waiting for.
Well, if we have a what landmass, what continent are we going to be fighting on?
I mean, look, there's a reason why they waited to shoot down that fucking spy balloon, right? Remember that the whole spy balloon fiasco where it crossed the entire goddamn country? I think it flew over Alaska, it came through, and it flew, and it flew, and it was mapping everything out where all those things are, but... What might happen with another balloon? Well, here's the deal. You get a series of these balloons with a weapon on it. You blow that weapon in the atmosphere. It causes an EMP, and it shuts us down for several months, if not years.
It'll be years and years. It would be. A large enough EMP would shut us down for 10 years minimum.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to get our ham radios out and our TV radios.
Well, that would work as long as you had them protected by a Faraday cage when the EMP went off.
It would shut down all the new cars, too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The new cars, the trucks.
Yeah, that's right. And if that didn't work, think about the false flags and the destruction of the power grid, the power plants being blown up.
Well,
food plants are being blown up.
Look at the chaos that happened with that Arctic storm in Texas a few years back. You know? And that was a natural occurrence, but it was a man-made disaster because they wanted to do all kinds of dopey things with their windmills and shit and all that stuff over. Gunn lived through that, right, Gunn? The whole Arctic storm shutdown, electrical shutdown in Texas, right, Gunn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Texas fucked themselves being cheap on their so-called renewable energy because those windmills froze, and they froze up because they didn't have any heaters in them. And, you know, the thing about it is that when you build an infrastructure like that, if you don't put any HVAC in there and you only put the cooling system in there and not the heating system, you have just told everybody you're waiting for the disaster, because that's what you're going to get. I mean, it just doesn't matter. You never put anything in, you know, in a hot climate without a heater. You never put anything in a cold climate without air conditioning. I mean, I live in Alaska, and I know how important the heat is, for sure. But I also know how important the cooling is, for sure, up here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But this whole thing, you know, this whole thing that Poopy Pants is getting us into, you know, because his calculation, if it's him, but the calculation is that the Americans don't change leadership during a war. That's the calculation going on. Now, they're gonna have to get in a shooting war pretty soon, because the way it's looking, you're looking at all these polls, you know, and the fact of the matter is he's losing, Biden is losing to Trump, right, in these polls. Now, you can't trust the polls, but that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying right now, Trump is up against Biden in these polls. So, and the closer they get to the election, I think it's going to get worse for Biden. So when is Biden going to get us in this shooting war? It's got to be pretty soon, within the next, say, I don't know, five months, 6 months, something like that. Maybe faster than that. I don't know.
Well, he didn't deploy 2,000 troops to the Ukraine just for his health.
No.
When did he do that?
Just recently.
Well, maybe if you win a shooting war, Biden will suspend the election.
That's another thing.
Well, it'd have to be a shooting war.
That's when a war over there.
I don't think that'll happen.
If he suspends the election over here, I think that's will be the start of the shooting war over here in the Civil War.
Oh yeah. Yep.
We've got about 7 minutes of the show left before it goes into where it's not being recorded anymore. So,
but yeah, and they can't. I mean, they know that if they. Well, I would say that they're not going to try and cheat again, but they really did not get their hands slapped. I go back to what Gunn has always said about these people. You got to slap their hands or they're going to do it again,
yep.
Right? They didn't get their hands slapped the last time. Thank you, fucking
yep.
John Roberts. Fucking,
yep.
What's the standing? Well, standing to bring these election things.
Well, you got to thank Pence.
You got to
thank Pence, Mike Pence, too. He's a fucking traitor. Okay, he could have decertified it right then and there. Okay, plain and simple. But if Trump doesn't get back in, or a person like him does not get in, we're going to be in a shooting war. Because people's had it. They've seen now just how more evil and destructive the Democrats are compared to the other time. Yeah, it's going to be balls to the wall now. I'd say it, but it's a coming.
They're just stupid enough to suspend the election, thus creating the Civil War.
Oh yeah, they do something that stupid because they are that stupid to do something that stupid.
Yep.
Which is pretty okay.
Well, if they do that, it wouldn't be as a result of stupidity. It would be as a result of a concerted effort to start that civil war. Let's not forget that the New World Order runs America and runs the world. And what's their major goal?
If they move towards suspending...
a conflict.
Yeah. If they move towards suspending the election, then they backed off and had an election, well, you couldn't trust the results.
Yeah, true.
That's true. They probably have Putin as the next president.
They'd have what?
I said they would probably have Putin elected as the next president. All of a sudden, you know, there'd be Biden versus Trump. All of a sudden, who's the winner? Oh, look at this, Vladimir Putin. How the hell did he get on the ballot?
Yeah. I mean, but we'll see what happens with this. I mean, like I said, they're stupid enough to do it, but are they cowardly enough to not pull the trigger, though? Because,
well, like I said, give us 2 years. It's Mad Max. Doesn't matter how they do it. Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. There are states that are talking about, like, printing their own money, you know, to get away from the fucking...
Can't do that.
Fed, you know? So, and also, don't forget this. So, they have this... the digital money that they're going to trot out pretty soon, right?
I'm glad you brought that up, because even if you don't get into a shooting war, if they start implementing the digital currency, you don't need the shooting war. They'll just take your banks, your bank accounts, and apply it to a China social credit system, something of the equivalent. And if they don't like the way that you're spending your money, your bank account now belongs to the state.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh boy.
That's one of the reasons why they don't want Trump in.
No, yeah.
You know, from what I understand, is that, or what I've been told, now this is all just fucking hearsay, rumor, bullshit, and stuff like that, is that Trump has a new monetary system just waiting to go into effect. Nobody would lose nothing. It would just be, not part of the Federal Reserve.
I wouldn't trust Trump to walk my fucking dog. Okay. A guy that says, hey, you know what? It's your choice if you want to take the vaccine or not. And then after he gets out of office, here's a guy that's a billionaire, supposedly intelligent, and he still keeps maintaining that this bioweapon is safe.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get my vote.
Yeah, denying the evidence of it just to save face, I agree. He still stands by it, even though it's obviously killing people and more reports are coming out.
Well, I'm gonna give him a pass on that, because I have a feeling that he was listening to his advisors, and they were feeding him with the bullshit, and he just ate it up. Because at the time, if you all remember back then, nobody knew nothing about nothing. And then the vaccine came out, and if you remember correctly, Kamala Harris was not embarrassed to say that she would not take any Trump vaccine at all. And then as soon as they got elected, man, it was like, go get your vaccine, go get your vaccine, you know.
Here in New Mexico.
I mean, I just went and I had a doctor's appointment, and my doctor had asked me if I had, you know, gotten my flu shot and my COVID shot yet for this year. And I said, well, I'm not getting the COVID shot. There's no way that's going in my system. And I said, I'm going to pass on the flu shot also.
Yep.
Because every time I get one of those, you know, I get sick. And I told him, besides that, you know, I don't need one because of the sanitary conditions that I live in, myself, make sure that my immune system is working, rock and roll, and is in shape. And when I mean in shape, yeah, if there's a disease out there, I've probably had it, or I've had enough of it for my immune system to go play havoc with it. You know, so I just keep my immune system healthy. And, you know, there's only one natural way to do that, and that is to forsake hand sanitizers and all that other stuff. The most that I would do is maybe rinse and maybe use a little soap, and that to be about it. And then it wasn't like all the signs and stuff tell you to wash your hands, tell you how to wash your hands and all that other stuff. Like, fuck you. I've been doing this for my whole life. I know how to wash my hands.
Yep.
Well, if I was the president, the first week I started getting rid of the Federal Reserve. Might as well get them to shooting at me early. But that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Well, they would shoot at you early for the Federal Reserve, and they wouldn't miss, because they're not getting rid of that. But that would be a major goal. But in terms of the vaccine, if you're the president and you're listening to a whole bunch of advisors and not a doctor, and I can understand at the time when he was president, when he got out of office and he's got no pressure from the same people, the deep state, when he was in there, and he's going to take, now remember, he's the past president. He's got an ego. He's going to take a look back at his particular administration to find out what particular laws and policies were effective and not effective. A year after he's been out and he's telling people it's safe, no way. Okay? No way. Too many people have come out with scientific evidence talking and showing how the so-called vaccine is causing more damage than good. He has to know about it. And he's promoting it. And now all of a sudden, now that he's running for campaign again, he's going to talk about how those people who are talking about the vaccine are, what is he called then? uninformed or traitors or something like that. He's going to look further into the vaccine. Bullshit. Anybody, any one of us here who was a president and who's advocated for something which is supposed to have been especially important to 320 million people, gets out of office and doesn't take a look back to see if that particular advice that he's given is worthwhile, I'm not giving him a pass. In office, one thing. Outside of office, no way. He's not a country bumpkin.
Well, if you remember correctly, Fauci and the rest of the boys really jumped his shit because he was advocating for the use of hydroxychloroquine, which was a very successful drug, and they've proved it in various other countries. In fact, it was in France that this one doctor was successfully treating all of his COVID patients with hydroxychloroquine. And if you remember correctly, Trump was saying hydroxychloroquine to treat it. And they get jumped all over his case for it. Why? Because it fucking, one, worked. Two, it was extremely cheap to manufacture and make.
Well, yeah, that shows the incentive of Fauci, who is, of course, somebody maybe in the park of the Rothschilds. And you're making my case because Trump was using hydroxychloroquine and was using it fairly effectively. And there was another drug, was it resveratrol or ivermectin, that was also effective.
Ivermectin. Okay.
Ivermectin. So he knew, right, he knew how successful it was and then abandoned it while he was in office, didn't talk about it anymore. So why would a president who successfully used these drugs not say, and plus he's also denounced Fauci, okay? So why would a president who's used the drugs that's been successful on him personally then abandon the popularization of it, and then once he's out of office, starts saying, this vaccine is terrific. I wouldn't let him walk my dog.
Well,
you know what? I may not let him walk my dogs either, but I'd still vote for him.
I think the whole, Biden versus Trump is the epitome of, the lesser of two evils, pretty much. And before we go, or before we wrap up the show, I just saw this article I thought I would share with y'all, and I absolutely love this idea. Restaurant is now charging customers a fee for bad parenting, usually around $50. One tiny restaurant in Georgia is now garnering national notoriety for charging a $50 fee for customers for bad parenting. Adult surcharge for adults unable to parent. I love that.
Where'd you find that, Lorianne?
I just saw it in my Facebook feed. Quote, if you have children, absolutely avoid this place at all costs. Holy moly, the most disrespectful owner made a huge scene in front of the entire restaurant because our children were running through the restaurant.
Is it a store or is it just somebody? Is it a store? Is it an actual news story where it's attributed in a newspaper? Where we can find it?
Yeah, it's a ABC. It's a ABC news story. Yeah, published yesterday. I love that. I think more restaurants need to do that, man. If you bring your little brats to the restaurant and they're running around, making a scene and being unruly, then absolutely slap you with an extra fee. Parents just. If you can't control your children and you're making it a bad experience for other people, other patrons, then absolutely. Charge him a fee. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it says,
I am all for it. Absolutely.
The restaurant is in Blue Ridge, Georgia, and it's called Tokawa Riverside Restaurant.
You know, it sounds ridiculous, but when you own your own property, you can impose your own ridiculous rules or non-ridiculous rules as you wish. And if people want to come in and they have to abide by those rules, then they abide by those rules. Then they don't come in. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if that was you, Gunslinger, said that you would vote for Trump, but you wouldn't let him walk your dog. That's an example of Orwellian doublethink.
Well,
getting back,
you know,
let's
put it, it's not Orwellian doublethink. Let's just say it like this, all right? I do not 100% agree with Trump on all of what he did. Don't get me wrong with that. Most of what he did, I agree with, and I'm glad he did it. So, you know, the other thing is like what Ronald Reagan said, you know, if you agree with 80% of whatever, or you know, he agrees with 80% of whatever you do, he's not the enemy. He's your frickin' friend. You're not supposed to agree 100% of the time on everything.
Nope.
You know, that's not. Why do you think our government was set up like it is? It is set up to create controversy and arguments, discussion and debate.
Well, I'm going to vote for Trump. I'm voting for Trump early and often.
Yeah, that was the one thing we all forgot to do, was the often. You know, we needed to vote like the Democrats. You know,
man, that's an argument using sophistry. If a person is right 98% of the time, but the 2% of that person is wrong, starts a nuclear war, you don't vote for that person.
Yep.
Now, he was a very good